How do you grieve like David does in the Bible? Welcome to Handing It to Jesus podcast. This is where we trade our deepest pains, our deepest suffering to Jesus for peace. And today we're going to go through this grieving section of our Handing It to Jesus workbook. And with me here today, as always, is Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Craig.
So let's go ahead and actually start by reading Psalms. And this is the example straight out of the workbook. This is Psalm 4, 1 to 3. Answer me when I call, O God, my righteous. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned to shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. So when we think about grieving, there is an emotional journey that takes place. And we see this a little bit in the psalm. If you're actually looking at the workbook, I actually have in parentheses some of the pieces that we're going to talk through. But what this emotional journey that David takes us on as we go through some of these psalms is there is an acknowledgement. So this is an acknowledgement of who God is. Mm-hmm. And it's starting out based in reality, right? With this is who God is. This is an attribute of God. And
righteous.
Absolutely. And it moves to the complaint. It's pretty important whenever you're going through your own grief, your own pain, that there is an understanding of what it is that's going on. It's not ignoring. It is an expression of the suffering that you're currently going through.
Right.
And from a psychological perspective, this is very important, because when there is an acknowledgement and even like a vocalization or even writing it down, whenever this happens, it changes how it is emotionally handled in our brain. And it actually opens us up to a different experience. So this isn't something that's out of scripture. This is just how our bodies work. It's how God designed us. Mm-hmm. There's the reason why when we read some of these things, we should take them and start to understand that this is showing us how to grieve.
Yeah.
So like when we go through this complaint, it is us stating what's going on. I would highly recommend you allow the complaint to fill you with emotion, right? This is the grieving. This is the pain. This is the crying, the sorrowing, the breakdown that comes along with grieving. Then we have a description of the pain. This is heightening it, is what we call this in psychology, where we are giving time and space for this emotion to really well up.
Mm-hmm.
It is also the description of pain allows it to be much more authentic. Mm-hmm. It allows us to be much more authentic because we're being true to what is happening with us and the depth in which it is happening.
Yeah, that's right. What I have noticed so often as well is that very few times in our life do we really understand our own pain. And it's hard to kind of grasp at it and know what it is that we're actually feeling or where we're feeling it at. And so to be able to get specific and describe what is it I'm feeling, how am I feeling it, what does it feel like, how big is it, how small is it, how intense is it, does it last long, is it dull and achy, is it constant or sporadic, to get specific with what it actually feels like gives us more self-awareness for when we need to continue to grieve things in the future. Even whenever it comes to physical pain, many people are not good at describing their pain.
Yeah.
My wife, Darlene, she's a physical therapist and runs into this all day long. And they have a lot of specific questions that they ask to try to get at what it is you're actually feeling.
Right.
So this is important. This is helpful.
It's even important in prayer.
Absolutely.
I remember some of the most incredible experiences of healing that I've heard of, I was shocked at the specificness or the specificity of what it is that was being asked for restoration, down to like certain vertebrae in the back, down to a specific eye that was having some type of ailment, down right. to specific hearing, or like this foot being just slightly shorter, and like just the specificity in which those prayers take place. It is encouraging the description of pain that we're talking a little bit about.
Yeah.
Then right after that, you have a plea for action.
Right.
Now, this is important in a lot of different aspects, but when we pray, often we're asking God for something, right? Whenever Jesus gave us the prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, we are asking God for several things during this.
Mm-hmm.
Your Heavenly Father is a gracious God. Ask and you shall receive.
Right.
You want to ask God for things. So amidst your suffering, you most certainly want to practice this. And then we end it with this expression of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the expression of trust is an acknowledgement that even if the suffering doesn't end right Amen. Now,
yeah.
that we still know that God loves us and he cares. Yeah. This is not his plan for us. So the expression of trust ends on a hope in right. God, which is right. often also translated to a hope of the future. So a future where there is not pain and suffering, right? Yeah. Which is getting into the book of Revelation, which, you know.
Sure.
But we always want to end cap this. So think about this emotional journey. You're acknowledging who God is, right? So I imagine mm-hmm. this is like a roller coaster. You're starting out on the high point, and then you go to the complaint. So things are going down from here, right? This is like the first drop in a roller coaster. Then you're going to this description of pain, which is still that drop, and
right.
you're allowing the pain to really fill yourself and to show and just be authentic with God there in the moment of grieving and prayer. Or even if you're talking to another believer, allowing the mask that you might carry along throughout your life to fall. And then there's this plea for action
mm-hmm.
and asking God. And this, like whenever you get the plea for the action, in my mind, this is a shift from this emotional place to what is it that I need here? So you're like not only in that emotional place, but you're starting to come out of it and to give yourself that time to actually think
right.
and to actually formulate the words and to actually express what it is that you want. So like you're still, that depth of the pain is still uploaded, but you're starting to shift focus. And then the expression of trust allows,
which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, that allows for that emotional pain to have a shifting effect, that this doesn't have to stay forever. And that even if it does, God's still good. God still loves you. God doesn't think less of you.
Mm-mm.
There is this peace that comes along with always ending the deepest pain and suffering we have with an expression of trust in God.
Yeah. Which is beautiful. There's only, I think, one psalm in all of the psalms that doesn't end with an expression of trust in God. David must have been in great turmoil mm-hmm. and pain to be willing to end it without that expression of trust.
Yeah.
But often David does come back to this acknowledgement, this reality of who God is, that again, similar to what I mentioned a few episodes ago, that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with King Nebuchadnezzar, what they said about if God doesn't save them, that they will still praise him.
Right.
And God can save us. He can restore to us. He can meet us where we're at. He can give us peace. But even if he doesn't,
yeah.
in the way that we think he should, in the timing that we think he should, to know that that doesn't define who God is, it doesn't change who God is, and to still almost kind of sandwich our prayers in those moments of an acknowledgement of the reality of who he is in the beginning, an acknowledgement right. of the reality of who he is at the end, and to let our pain sit between those two places of who he is.
And understand here, we are creating a formula out of this. Emotion is not a formulaic thing, right? So I love that you mentioned that, that there is a psalm in which David doesn't end an expression of trust. During your grieving process, you might not be able to hit all these steps, or it may be so formulaic, it just becomes unnatural. That's okay. This is just to give you a format. You know, I remember whenever my stepdad was diagnosed with cancer, I remember getting that call. And I was on the highway, 270 here in Missouri, and I pulled over. Ironically, actually, where I pulled over was a church that I would actually later on end up going towards, right by Manchester. And I pulled over, and I was sobbing to God, and I was crying, and I didn't get to the expression of trust. And, you know, I didn't actually even get to the complaint. There was, I remember, there was an acknowledgement of who God was. By the way, I didn't have this formula in my head. There's acknowledgement of who God was. I started with that because there was a reason that I was praying to God in the moment. And there was just a ton of tears. There was a ton of sobbing. And just really in the description of the pain, expression of this pain, and asking for some type of action, God. And so depending on where you're at in your grieving process or what you're grieving, you may not be able to get to that end note, and that's okay, right? You can always get to it later, right? Yeah. We pray throughout the day, right? And if I start a prayer at 10, and then I remember that I didn't really finish it up at 11 o'clock at night, that's okay. So don't look at this is the way that it needs to be done. Look at this as an invitation to some type of structure, and but also an invitation to going on this emotional journey with God. And that's what structure we really want to do. Just
help us grasp some way of attempting to do it, guys, attempting to engage with our pain and attempting to engage with God with our pain. That's why we see structure throughout the Psalms, because this is what human beings do. Like, we learn to create structure around hard and difficult things.
And Matt and I are actually going to walk through a little bit of what this looks like. So we do have some questions just to kind of get you started with this concept of grieving. And and later on in the grieving section, we'll actually go through and have you answer some of these questions, or you can, most certainly. But this is, as you're going through handing things over to Jesus, you're going to go through a grieving process because you need to change. There's a part of you that you're letting die. And in counseling, we talk about parts work all the time because we are made up of many parts, right? So as I'm going through this journey of allowing myself to be generous as God has commanded me, I am allowing a part of me go. And it's a really hard part. I'm allowing this scarcity part. I'm allowing this part of me that wants to covet resources, the part that's scared and terrified. I'm allowing that part to, I'm allowing myself to like recognize that that part cannot exist with what God's calling me to be. And so, right, when we get to question one, what are you experiencing right now?
What loss are you experiencing?
So like this moment right here, and the loss that I'm experiencing right now in this moment, as it relates to, you know, the thing I'm wanting to hand over to Jesus, and for you, it may be related to that, it may not be, but, you know, for the sake of going through the workbook, I'll relate it to what I'm going through. What the loss that I'm experiencing right now is like a loss of security. A guarantee that things are going to be okay. And like a safety net. Right? The idea that the things that I'm storing up in this world are the things that keep me secure. And being able to grieve that the things of this world will always pass away. My bank accounts, my 401ks, the cushion that I have and this financial stability, all of it is temporary. And it is,
that's right.
It is very challenging for me, and it's very painful. I have to give up the security that I've built for myself.
Yeah. And it feels so pessimistic to like just end right there, right? There's more to it. Mm-hmm. But my challenge to all of you as you walk through these questions with us is, you know, to don't wrap up this loss you're experiencing right now with the pretty pink bow tie at the end. Because we are going to move into hope later. That's part of grieving. We have to have hope in order to actually grieve well, yes. But it's so important to just kind of sit in that pain with the thing that we have actually lost in our life or lost in ourself.
Absolutely.
And that's really hard to sit with this reality of everything that I have built for myself will fade away. Right. That's painful.
Well, not only that, but that is keeping me from operating in this generous fashion.
Right.
You know, it's keeping me from the peace that God's offering me.
Yeah. And resisting that truth, that reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Not allowing you to grieve it. I think for myself, I am I'm experiencing a loss. A couple different things as I'm thinking about this that relates to, you know, the ultimate struggle that I've shared with you guys. I'm experiencing a loss of my personal time. My time is not my own anymore. I belong, obviously, first to God, always have, but also I belong to my family, to my wife, and to my children. And I have responsibility to provide for my children and my wife, to take care of them, to be engaged and present when I'm with them,
right.
To feed them so that they survive and give them water and encouragement and education and social, emotional learning, all of that. And so I have very little time for many of my own interests. And if I do have a little bit of time for my own interest, I've found over the past few months, the past month, I've taken a little bit of time, but there was like a season there of the past like 7 or 8 months where even if I had time at night to go read a book or play a game or watch a show, more often than not, I just chose to go to sleep because I knew I'd be up a couple times in the middle of the night and that I would be up at like 6 or 6:30 in the morning when all of the kids woke up. And sleep seemed far more of a priority than getting to relax my mind and my heart with an interest of mine.
Yeah.
And it feels like a season of some sadness in that whenever I think about that my interests are not priority. And even though they're good things and they can give me some rest in life, ultimately I can still find the most important rest and recovery that I need in the Lord, that I need in my children and spending time with my family. But it is really hard to give up something that I have relied on for years and years and years to fill me back up, to give me, you know, that fuel to keep going. And right now as well, I'm kind of grieving this loss in of abundance, of, you know, the lines that God draws for us and how we're able to live, because my wife and I are looking for another home to kind of upgrade to. Since we have a growing family and our current home is awesome, we love it, but it's, you know, the messes feel really messy whenever you're in a small home and that you constantly have to pick up if you don't want to be living in mess. And it's a 2-bed right now, and if we want to have a third kid, it's doable. People have done it. Our ancestors have done it. But man, it feels like it would be so nice, right, to just have a house with one more bedroom to raise 3 kids in. And we're finding it really hard to find houses right now in the market. And I see these gorgeous houses that have the space and have the nice location that we like, the ones that where our community currently is, and we can't afford these houses. If we actually want to be able to still live and thrive and enjoy things in life, we can't afford those houses.
Right.
And there's this part in me whenever I look at these houses or I'm interested in making an offer on a house and it gets swept out from underneath us because somebody offered way over the asking price. It's like, man, I don't make enough. We don't have enough to actually be able to enjoy good things.
Right.
So there's that part of me that's grieving that, like, we can't have all that we want. And part of that loss also is tempting to send me into this spiral of, well, I must not be enough for my family, giving enough if we can't afford these nice houses, you know?
Right.
So there's a loss in there that I am grieving, right? That we don't have as much as others do.
Yeah.
And I see that my family can't experience some of these beautiful and good things, things that, you know, I think God in some ways wanted us to enjoy abundance in the context of relationship first with Him.
Yeah.
Like, but the, now, the even though we have that, yeah,
the loss of like that part of your identity that like, I'm not enough if I mm-hmm. don't provide this.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right. That nothing I can do is enough. It feeds into that, that belief about myself.
Yeah.
That everything I'm trying to do to provide, even kind of sacrificing some of my work to make less money so I can be home with my family.
Right.
Well, man, even that doesn't feel like enough because, well, I can't give my family these other
right.
things that I deem as good, or that our culture, I should say, deems as good.
Yeah. Well, and you've kind of answered that second question there with some of this, with something or someone you used to be able to engage with that you no longer can.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of these hobbies and different things.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've experienced much the same with that. And I have actually found that the amount of hobbies and things that I engage in have drastically reduced.
Yep.
Just with kids. But I have been very okay with it for the most
same, part. Craig, which struck me as weird whenever I first realized that I'm not overtly suffering in some way because I can't go play a Dungeons and Dragons game for 3 hours or because I can't, you know, go to the movie theater and watch a movie and have dinner with a friend.
I can't even tell you the last time I went to the movie theater. I mean, my wife and I don't have television. Like, we have TVs in our house and we only have streaming platforms that we never really watch. Or if we do, it's just for like a very short amount of time. And
30 minutes at night after the kids go to sleep. And
yeah,
you go to bed.
Yeah. So things that we used to do, now we have the opportunity to lean into. And, you know, one of the things that we can't do as much is go out to eat as much. And part of that is kids, but part of that is just finances in general.
You got a tighter budget now?
Yeah, that we have made different decisions that don't allow for us to go out to eat as much as we'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
And very much in support of those decisions until it comes down to dinner time. And it's like, do we really want to make dinner tonight? It's like, oh yeah. So like there's these parts that we don't have that can lead back to this loss of like feeling like we had the financial stability or the freedom, which then leads back to this generous part. And, you know, I think that there's glory there and being able to give up some of those things that we think that we need. And I know that our health has most certainly improved quite a bit with the less that we've gone out to eat. Which is tough to stomach because it's much easier just ordering something.
Right? Oh, yeah. So much more convenience. Mm-hmm. Often they're probably better cooks than you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, accepting some of those really hard things, actually allowing yourself to grieve those things, probably puts you into a position where maybe you're more okay to do the alternative.
Right.
To sit with some of the scarcity.
Yeah. And we get to question three. And remember, all these questions are just to kind of really help you get in touch with that loss part.
Yeah.
Which is what we're doing here, right? This isn't going through the different little process that we talked to you about there, but this does kind of expand on that. Right. But we won't really get into that today. You'll be able to read like the description of pain, mm-hmm. and like, all right, let's go through and what this looks like. But the third question there is, what is something or someone you find yourself thinking about even when you do not mean to? So Matt and I aren't really grieving the loss of someone in this process, but you may be.
Not at the moment. There will be another season of my life where I am, and there absolutely have been seasons in my life where I have.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
But I find myself thinking about, I may have shared it on this podcast, I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing in some ways to mention this, but I will anyway. There are times where I find myself looking at properties. And like little farms or like lake mm-hmm. houses, and not anything huge, but something yeah. that we can kind of escape away to. And I'll spend time on an app called Zillow and looking at different mm-hmm. things. And this would be a secondary residence. And there's a part of me that goes through a grieving process every time that I do that, because I start to think about, if I can afford this, then I can afford to give more. Mm-hmm. And whenever I do pivot from there and I resolve myself to give more, I feel a lot better mm-hmm. for me personally. Yeah. Because like if I do decide to purchase property somewhere else, I know what that does to the scarcity part. It makes it bigger. Mm-hmm. This is the part that I'm meant to be grieving, that I'm meant mm-hmm. to be letting go. And if I have something else to take care of now, my attention gets divided. So I find myself thinking about having these other properties as a way of peace. But I know deep down that having another property doesn't lead to peace for me, because it would be another responsibility mm-hmm. that I would have. So it's this weird conundrum of something that I want, you know, just worldly mm-hmm. to be able to have.
Right. A safety net that you create, mm-hmm. not one that God has created or has created for you. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is, because, this gets to be an investment property. Mm-hmm. We can build on it, or we have a house, and we're making a payment on it. We'll be able to sell it for more.
Yeah.
All these different justifications that I'm using will then fuel even more of the struggle that I'm having. So whenever I encompass this part that I'm letting go, that's how I come to the conclusion that it is the security in worldly things, in the material things and possessions that really, really gets me whenever I lean into this being generous. Mm-hmm. Because what that means is ultimately I get less.
Yep.
And I'm depending on God more.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so
to be able to like tithe 10% of your income each month and to watch that money float out of your account, that's hard whenever you have this mindset or perspective of, that could have been an investment property. I could have used that to get something nice for my kids. Yeah. I could have used that to help pay for a better education. I could have used that money for, fill in the blank. Wherever your mind winds up going, right? Like, I imagine that makes it so painful and hard for you.
Well, what happens is, so my wife and I, thankfully, like, we're very much numbers people. So mm-hmm. we had the money that we set aside to donate every month. And so, like, that doesn't even enter into our budget calculations, because, like, mm-hmm. you know, that money always goes to other things. I love being generous. Like, that isn't the problem. The problem is, when we get close to the end of the month and I'm balancing our budget and I'm seeing what we have left in different categories, and it's getting tight mm-hmm. because it should be getting tight because we have these budgets set aside for this. Like right. we know how much money we're bringing in every month. That's whenever it gets tough. I love giving money away. I actually really enjoy it. It's the after the money is given mm-hmm. that I get wrecked with. Did I just make a huge mistake?
Mm. Should I have held on to a little bit more?
Did I give up going out to eat? Did I give up getting my son's favorite food? Did I give up putting extra money away for a rainy day or whatever it may be?
Sure. Yeah.
And in those moments, I then start to look at, should I really have given that much away? Like, was that really necessary?
Yeah.
And so it's this kind of back-end resentment that ends up coming up that then starts to affect the condition of my heart the very next month.
Yeah.
Which is right there on the tail end as I'm closing it out.
So at the end of each month, you're kind of like rediscovering a little bit of this grieving process for you whenever you start to look at the tightness of that budget.
Yes. So and that's a good thing about some of this, right? This process of handing it over to Jesus. We want to have this uploaded. So now I know at the end of the month, this is coming for me.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Because if I know it's coming for me, I get to pray beforehand, I get to pray during, I get to pray after. And I get to, you know, like even this month, like I tried something different. You know, I think I told you guys a little bit last time that I was being convicted of giving in a different way than I was, rather than the automatic deposits and different things like that. And I told my wife that, like, hey, I'm going to take over donating some of this for this specific purpose. Because I was like, hey, I need to get my heart right at the beginning of this. And God says to give the first fruits. All right, I want to do that in this. I'm going to start here. And it's a big deal being able to lean into that grieving process early.
Yeah.
Because, all right, that money's going out. And then I can look at these different categories. Right, and then I'll look at last month as I'm closing out those books. Like, oh, man, it's going to be tight. But you know what? God will provide. We'll eat out less if we need to. Mm. We don't need to get name brand stuff. We don't need any more things.
Yeah.
I'll cut off the Disney Plus subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, whatever it needs to be. You know, I can go. You know, I could go without a meal. And like, we'll be okay.
Sure.
And it allows me to give those moments to have that expression of trust in these moments. But if I didn't allow, and I don't allow myself to go through that grieving process, then it becomes harder. It becomes harder to catch myself when I go on Zillow.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes harder to catch myself when I get in that mindset that, hey, that peace you find isn't going somewhere else. It's now.
Right.
It's here. And you're going to find it with God.
Yeah. I think that is a beautiful reminder. And really, I think you're only reminded of that because you've chosen to step into that grieving process. And that's so cool that you are able to start doing that earlier and earlier and earlier. It makes it easier.
I mean, it's part of doing this workbook, right? We become aware of this stuff because we're thinking about it. It's at the top of the mind. We get to understand the depth of what our struggle actually is and attack it so that we can do the behaviors and work on the condition of the heart and the loving and caring for other people and the compassion and the taking the plank out of our own eyes, all these different things that God is calling us to do starts with us being aware of the incorrect things that we're doing.
Yeah, you're right, man.
Right. And yeah, actually, I shouldn't say it starts with that. That happens right after we acknowledge who God is. Right. If I establish myself in the truth that God is good, everything that he says is truth, then, okay, I read this. Oh, there's something that happens in me.
Mm-hmm.
what's going on there. I get to investigate, I get to interrogate, I get to understand that, right? That's the discerning and the recognize section that we're talking right. about. We're really flushing right. it out. And then we go in the grieving to
I think grieving can be confusing unless you first try to understand who is it that we yes. serve and what does he say about mm-hmm. the world that we live in and about who we are, right? And how can I trust him? Terribly difficult and confusing to be able to grieve if we don't know which way is up, because we need to come up for air
yeah.
sometimes. I think to kind of end on this and share a little bit about myself too, my mind drifts often to those properties, to those security nets for myself, especially this season of life, looking for another house and to what life could be like. My mind often also drifts to what new skills, hobbies I could pick up, yeah. how proficient I could become, to also take care of my family, to provide supplemental income by doing X, Y, and Z, to be able to fix up this on the house and this on the house by myself, and I have to call certain handymen. And I daydream about, you know, becoming skilled in so many different areas. And then I have to remember and grieve also. It's like, I don't have the time to learn all of these different things. Right. Maybe I could choose one or two things to try to become better at. But even then, I have to give most of my attention to God and my family first.
Right.
And then to also a career where my main source of income is. And so that takes away a lot of opportunity to become skilled in so many different areas of life. Right. And so it's like choosing to accept that I'm always going to be limited in what I can do and what I can know. That hurts. And I catch myself thinking about that a lot.
Right, because then it comes back to hit that not enough place.
Yeah, of course.
And then like, yeah.
And then
let's grieve that.
Grieve that and then come back and remember, well, what does God say about me and who is God? Is it okay that I'm limited because he's not limited and yeah. I serve an
God did unlimited make us complete. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I want to leave you guys with that, that you have this permission and this encouragement right now to just start exploring what is it that you have lost, what is it that your mind and your heart drift to when you're still, what is kind of holding on to you that maybe you have not given yourself permission to feel or acknowledge or name, and just start to write that down or speak that out loud to somebody else to just process what is really hard in my life right now.
Yeah. And if this is helpful, use the formula
yeah.
That we've Please had do. Here. You know, like I said, we do have these different sections here, the description of plain, plea for action, and the expression of trust, right? All happens after that acknowledgement. So we have this that we've stolen from David.
He's fine with it.
I'm sure that he is too. The word's inspired by God. There's a reason that God put this here. God knows yeah. us, knows our heart, knows that this is an emotional journey, and we need to cling to God.
That's right.
During that emotional journey. So we Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this episode. Thank you for doing yeah. this really hard thing of going through yeah. this workbook. It's going to make you a better follower because it will help you become more dependent on Jesus. I know that I'm finding myself convinced of that the more and more I lean into it. And like I said, this is just the format that we have for this workbook. You may find that something else works a little better for you. That's totally okay, right? This is not the end all be all. This is not the yeah. word of God. This is just us trying to create some type of structure that we're hoping will be helpful.
Sure.
So thank you so much for joining us today. We love you very much. And take care. Until next time.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way, if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that I want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much, and we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah, thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.